Going to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy, chapter 4. We want to read verse 1 through 13 for our text. And the thought of the message today is keep thy soul. Keep thy soul. Deuteronomy 4:1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord thy God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so high unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. In verse number 9, Moses says to the people, take heed to thyself. Take heed to thyself. And keep thy soul diligently. We find an interesting exhortation here. It's one that we don't find often in Scripture. It's one that maybe we haven't ever really considered as an exhortation from the Lord. But through Moses, as he writes to the people here, the book of Deuteronomy, preparing them to go into the promised land and for him to depart, he tells the people to keep their souls. Keep thy soul. The soul is that eternal part of man. We come into this world, we are living souls. And our souls live forever. Our bodies are temporal, and our bodies possess the soul. And within the soul, I guess we would say, there is the spirit. But that soul is the eternal part of us. And God says to Moses, to the people of Israel, keep thy soul. Did you ever think you had a responsibility to keep your soul? Do you even understand what your soul is, what the soul is, what the soul of man is? Have you ever considered your responsibility to keep your soul? Now, we all know and understand that God keeps our souls, that God keeps the soul of everyone, of his people. We read in the book of Psalms 121, as we turn over there, Psalms chapter 121, really just wanting to read one verse, but there's only 8 verses in the chapter, so as we've been doing a lot lately, we'll just read the whole chapter. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We find a lot of the use of keeping or preserving in this passage of Scripture. We love this psalm because it has those words, I will look unto the hills, I will look up, and I will find that in the hills and from the hills I find my help coming. And that help that comes to me as I look up is the Lord. The Lord coming to help. The Lord coming to deliver. The Lord coming to keep us, to keep me, to keep his people. And he says in that 7th verse, the Lord shall preserve thee, or will keep thee from all evil. He shall preserve, or he shall keep thy soul. That's God's job. That's what we understand about God. Our souls are in his hands. He keeps our souls. We're eternal, but that doesn't affect the fact that he will forever keep us. He keeps us saved. He keeps us safe. He keeps in our presence. He keeps encouraging us. He keeps lifting up those promises we just sang about a little while ago. He keeps lifting those up and reminding us that we can stand upon those things because he keeps his promises. And verse number 7 says, he shall preserve, he shall keep thy soul. In the Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? He that keeps the soul, of course, is God. God is the one being spoken of in that 12th verse. And the question is, will not he who keeps the soul ponder it? Will not he who keeps the soul know all things, understand all things, comprehend all things, deal with all things accordingly? It is God who keeps the soul. But as we go back to that passage from Deuteronomy 4, that ninth verse has God speaking to Israel through Moses. And Moses says to Israel, "Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul." It is God that keeps our souls. We understand that. But this exhortation is that we keep our own souls. That there is some application to that thought that every one of God's people are responsible for keeping themselves. Keeping themselves. We find over in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. Verse number 5. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." We're to love the Lord. We're to love the Lord with all our soul. All of our soul. In chapter 26 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 26, verse 16. "This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul." Love the Lord your God with all of your soul. Do these things. Keep these things with all thy soul. In Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. You might think I'm going to go to verse number 6. To which I would say not yet. But we might get there before we're done. But Deuteronomy chapter 22, we know verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." But let us not miss what verse number 5 says just before it. "Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul, shall be far from them." So there is a responsibility for us to keep our soul. There is a blessing pronounced upon those that keep their souls. We're to love the Lord our God. We're to serve the Lord our God. Obey the Lord our God with all of our soul. So we're to keep our soul. What does it mean to keep our soul? How do you define that exhortation? How do you define that responsibility that you have if you're here and you're saved to keep your soul? What does the Lord require of us in this exhortation to keep our soul? As I think about this and I study and I read other passages of Scripture, seems to me that he's speaking about keeping our soul centered, keeping our souls in sync with God, maintaining the focus of our soul. What it really boils down to is when he tells the people of Israel to keep their soul diligently, as he says to us, keep our souls. He's calling us to guard our souls. He's calling us to guard our souls, to keep watch over our souls. We need to ask ourselves, what condition our soul is in this morning. How much attention have we given to our souls in recent days? How much time have we spent? What exercises have we put into practice to keep our souls, to guard our souls, to keep a watch over our souls? We're told in verse number 9 to keep our souls, to guard, to keep watch over our souls. We find in Scripture that there are other people who are charged with guarding our souls. God, of course, guards our souls. We're told to guard our own souls, to guard, to keep watch over our souls. But there are other people. As you said here this morning, there are other people who God has given charge to keep your soul, to guard your soul, to watch over your soul. Well, first of all, God has called preachers and God has called teachers to watch over our souls, to guide us, to guard us, to keep watch over our souls. In this text of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, understand who's speaking. Understand, this is the voice of Moses. And he says in verse number 5, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Moses says, "I have taught you. As I have taught you the word of God, as I have taught you the commands of God, I now exhort you to do those things, to keep those things." Moses felt a responsibility over the people of Israel. He had been called to oversee, to lead the people, to teach the people, to deliver the word to the people. And even now, in preparation for his departure, in preparation for his leaving them and giving that task into another man's hand, the man by the name of Joshua, he takes one more opportunity in this book to fulfill that responsibility to guard the souls of Israel. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. You know where we're going. At least you should. Verse number 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you." He's talking about the elders, pastors, if you would, the overseers of the flock. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Submit yourself to those who have the oversight, because they have the responsibility of watching over your soul, guarding your soul, keeping watch over your soul." We find in the Word of God, I think we can go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I read this passage from Ephesians because it throws in that thought of teachers, preachers and teachers. Preachers and teachers have a responsibility to guard, to watch over the souls of those that they minister to, those that would be preachers and those that would be teachers should open or enter into the subject with open eyes, understanding that they have a responsibility to their members. They have a responsibility to the students. They have a responsibility to those that they preach to and that they teach to guard their souls. It's a weighty responsibility. It's put very simple in Scripture that one day preachers and teachers are going to give an account to the Lord. They're going to stand before the Lord. And God help them to be able to do it with joy and not with sorrow. But a preacher is charged with overseeing. A preacher is charged with keeping a watchful eye over the souls of those that they speak to. The same is true with teachers. And that would mean at any level that you teach, you're charged with guarding, you're charged with keeping an eye, you're charged with being concerned with their souls, the condition of their souls, the course of their souls. Of course, where their souls are going to end up. But that places a lot of weight on a preacher. That places a lot of weight on a teacher. Preachers and teachers are charged as those that must give an account for their watchfulness over the souls of God's people. I always say the average church member has it easy. They're only accountable for themselves. They're only responsible for themselves. But a pastor, a preacher, a teacher is responsible for all those that are under them and are responsible to keep, watch care, to concern themselves with those that are under them as one day giving account. Now you go back to that passage in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, of course. Now we want to read verse 9 and 10. Only take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Take heed, keep your soul, lest you forget the things that you have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. As he says, keep thy soul diligently. Remember the things you have seen. Don't let these things slip. Don't forget all that you have seen. It's with this thought, last part of verse number 10, or verse number 9. Don't forget these things that you have seen, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, or at Zion, Mount Zion. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. Listen now what he says. Gather the people together, that they may learn or hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth. And here he brings it in again as he did in verse number 9, that they may teach their children. So the thought here, the point we're trying to make at this particular junction is that not only are pastors and teachers given guard and given watch care over the souls of people, but parents are charged with keeping the souls, with watching over the souls of their children. And we need to ask ourselves, how much emphasis, how much importance do we put upon guarding the souls of our children? We're concerned with where they're going to get their education. We're concerned with how much money they're going to be able to make during the course of their life. We're concerned with whether or not they're going to be successful in the world. Well, how much concern do we have over their spiritual welfare, over their spiritual needs? I would say before you that that should be priority over all the other things. It should be most important to us how our children fare spiritually. Do they know the Lord? Are they being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Are they being taught the things of the Lord? Are our consciences clear in regards to the responsibility we have of guarding the souls of our children? Because just as the pastor, just as the teacher, just as anybody who's given a responsibility is accountable, parents are given their children for a little while to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and parents are responsible to one day stand before the Lord and give an account for how they raised them in the spiritual realms. And since we already read it, I won't make you go back to chapter 22 of Proverbs. We read the 6th verse. Train up a child the way that they should go. Train up a child in the way that they should go. I think the emphasis, the focus is spiritually. Train up a child in the way that they shall go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but every time I read that passage of Scripture, I'm drawn to say the same things. We're not responsible for what our children do with what we teach them. We're not responsible for what our children do once they become adults and they're on their own. We're not responsible. They're responsible before God. But we are responsible to raise them and to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because if we do that, they're never going to get away. They may wander, they may stray, they may rebel, they may flee, they may run. But if you've taught them and you've instilled it within them, you're free of responsibility before God, and they're never going to get away. They're never going to get away from what you've instilled within them concerning the things of God. And you never know when the Lord's going to use what you taught them. How far down the road it's going to be, how late in life it's going to be, you never know when the Lord's going to use what you've taught them to bring them back. And there are many testimonies, there are many records, maybe even amongst us here today, of those who could speak of children who wandered away from the Lord, but the Lord eventually brought them back. Brought them back to the Lord. You just don't, you can't come up on the short end of believing the promises of God. And that's a promise. Train up a child in the way that they should go. Guess what? When they're old, they'll never get away from that. Once it's instilled, it's there. And you never know what God's going to do with that. So parents have a responsibility. And then back there in our text, of course, the main application is with self. With self. God keeps our souls. We're charged and we're called to, in that 9th verse, to keep our souls diligently. Not just to keep our souls, but to keep our souls diligently. That means to guard, to keep watch over our own souls. Preachers and teachers are charged with overseeing, with keeping a watchful eye on our souls. Parents are called to keep a watchful eye over the souls of their children. And then, of course, the focus is keep thy soul. Keep thy soul. Keep yourself. Psalms 119 thought of this passage of Scripture along these lines. Psalms 119. Psalm 119. Verse 9 through 11. Let's read 12 also. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. But I love that 11th verse. It speaks of a person's responsibility to themselves, to guard themselves, to keep themselves. The psalmist said, God's word have I hid in my heart. I've placed it deep within me. I did that with the intention that I might not sin against God. There is an example, I believe, of one guarding his soul, keeping his soul as an individual. So God keeps our souls, of course, and will never be lost, nor can they ever be lost. We're told to keep our own souls in our text. Don't forget that there are others who have responsibility to keep souls. That may not only apply to you as somebody who's got somebody responsible for them, but you might be responsible over somebody, and you keep their soul. Let us understand that ultimately we are responsible to keep our own souls. We're going to stop there, probably get back into this passage of Scripture tonight.